Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on October 27th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jackie, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing out in the market these days. It's really amazing what we see with the likes of Tesla and other home goods brands. Lots of brands are establishing that space where they're saying, this is the best X in the market, and we stand behind our product for life. This is something that's really going across all sections of the economy, and certainly, you know, Tesla lovers, they just love that car. It's a different relationship.
Yeah, it is. But you know, I think we go through these phases where for so long people were just content to buy goods that were cheap and not very well, you know, price point. And then there comes a swing where people are like, you know something, if I'm going to spend my money on something, I want to get something good, something that's going to last, that I don't have, cause we're such a, I'm going to say this wrong, consumptive society.
Sure.
It's not consumptive,
yeah.
It's consuming, but I can't figure out how to say it.
Well, it's almost like a disease, like consumption.
Yeah.
Consumerism.
Consumer, yeah.
Is a disease, and I think it's become a political statement now, right? I mean, if you're consuming and you're throwing away, you're creating trash, you're clogging the oceans with plastic. I mean, it's a whole meme in life and society today that just buying something with the intent to throw it away is, like, not cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'll get this for this season, and then the next season comes out, and I'll get rid of this and get something else, and
And of course, it's not technology that we're used to thinking of. It's also clothing and accessories. People are starting to think more in terms of, it used to be years and years ago. I mean, when I say years ago, I mean 100 years ago. You'd wear the same 3-4 outfits over and over again. You'd wash them, you'd wear them, you wash them and wear them. And when they wore out, mom would make you a new one.
Well, I can't speak to 100 years ago. I'm not, I wasn't around then, but I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
So, Jackie, if only we could talk to
someone. Oh, here we go. If only.
If only we could talk to someone who had a vision for accessories, like, you know, maybe handbags or something, that lived with you, became a part of your life. Do you think we could find someone like that, Jackie?
I think I could find someone like that.
Well,
for
Jackie,
you.
Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Tony Dropton, CEO and Executive Creative Director of Hammett. Now, Tony is the creative genius behind Hammett, a coveted luxury accessories brand based in the South Bay. With handbags at its heart, Hammett offers effortless style and a playful, daring spirit. As a top-selling brand in boutiques nationwide, Hammett has built a significant cult following, which is helping to fuel expansion into the retail space. Tony's primary goal at Hammett is to create a successful American brand built on the European model, where design and craftsmanship lead, product is made to order, and pricing is never discounted. Backed by an MBA from Bowling Green, his hometown state of Ohio, Tony established his success and driven entrepreneurial spirit early on through his startups in the construction and finance industries before moving on to fashion. Tony is respected for his endless optimism, inspiring positivity, persistent drive, and ever-present smile. Having volunteered for organizations such as Junior Achievement and Habitat for Humanity, Tony is committed to giving back and serves as a strong advocate for educational programs. Now, a little history on Hammett. It was founded in 2008. They offer effortless style and a playful spirit. The collections are designed for dynamic lifestyle, providing both functionality and iconic silhouettes. Hammett is carried in top boutiques nationwide. Now, Joe, Hammett is now offering a collection of sandals to go with those fabulous handbags. And this morning, we're going to learn about the company's decision to expand into footwear. Welcome to the program, Tony. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
How you doing, Jackie? How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for joining us today.
I don't even know who that guy was you just talked about, but boy, I want to meet him.
He's a pretty interesting guy, you know. Whenever you call someone a creative genius, you really set them up for who knows what. But I have to say, Tony, when we talk about what you're doing, I'm having a Steve Jobs moment, almost like a reinvention of the accessory space. Tell us a little bit about what you were doing before.
Before Hammett.
Yeah, BH. BH.
I had a
him.
Monkey and a grinder out in the street, and that's why I raised my first dime.
Okay.
No, that's not Well, you drew on some amazing comparisons early on with Tesla, talking about Steve Jobs.
Right.
You know, these are some of the brands, and the people behind those brands are some of the people that, you know, I've always idealized and looked towards as wow.
Yeah.
How are they able to create such greatness?
Right.
You know, before Tesla, Elon Musk did PayPal and so many other things in between, all at the same time. And you look at Steve Jobs, you know, from the 70s all the way until, unfortunately, his passing, Pixar and Apple and Next and things that people might not even know about. I mean, there's just certain individuals out there that I look towards for what you talked about, you know, the P's and they're motivating to me. Before Hammett, I had a couple of startups. I mentioned in the construction industry and also in residential finance, primarily mortgage and also development. And I learned a lot in doing those. And the lessons that I drew both in success and some harder times was that one thing will always prevail, and it's integrity and it's quality. And it's great service. I mean, that's combined because you can't have one without the others. And you can put that into almost any product and you'll see success. And when you talk about Tesla and Apple, I mean, talk about integrity, talk about great product, talk about amazing service. I mean, they got it right.
They did, didn't they? They got it right. I mean, and I have to include in this pantheon of principled leaders, Jeff Bezos from Amazon. There was a famous story about Jeff about going to a meeting where there was going to be a lot of hard, you know, there was going to be some tough language at that meeting, and there was one chair that was empty. And he said, you know, at one point he said, hey, you know what? You know who's sitting there? That's our, and they have expectations. And we have a commitment to that person. Now, the classic meme at Amazon, every meeting there's an empty chair. Every single meeting. And it's the customer. And whenever someone can't explain quite what they're trying to get at. They say, hey, what are the expectations of that person? This is
wow.
What?
Never heard that story, but that will be repeated from my mouth moving forward, Joe.
Well,
that's a great story.
I don't think you even need the story because I see it in the well, tell us about Hammett. I mean, lifetime guarantee? Why?
I never understood the difference between, you know, a 1 year, a 5 year, a 10 year, a lifetime. In my eyes, if you build it right, you should be able to stand behind it.
Yeah.
And so when I looked at the handbag industry, there are some great brands out there, History, Tumi for one, that always had a lifetime warranty, mm-hmm. Both in writing and implied. And there's an older brand that actually started right in Redondo Beach where you are. You might not be aware that they started there.
Hmm.
It's a billion-plus-dollar brand with 500 of their own stores. It's carried all over the country. It's called Brighton. Have you heard of Brighton?
Oh, yeah.
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 So Brighton, they've had a lifetime warranty implied, and in writing now, they've changed it slightly, but still, you know, I've met with Jerry Cole, the founder, in person, and we've talked about his brand because it was one towards for customer integrity. And he said, listen, if someone has a problem with our bags, we still take care of it. Or
yeah.
our jewelry, you know, that's how we do it.
Right.
And that's how he built a great brand.
Now,
so with Hammett, that was one of the basics that we really wanted to make sure. It wasn't about lifetime warranty to us.
Yeah.
It's much, the most expensive part of building Hammett was creating fanatical customers one at a time. And
yeah.
the way you do that is through everything around the handbag business. The way you keep fanatical customers is you give them great service. And standing behind the product is one part of that.
Right, right. So, okay, every story has a beginning. What was the beginning for you? Where did you find the inspiration to want to develop a brand?
You know, it's a two-part story. My entrepreneurial background, as you know, is quite varied. And it might seem a little disconnected to go from construction to residential finance and then into designing handbags. But, you know, there really is a connection. Everything that I learned in the construction industry was about building beautiful things.
Mm.
And in doing that, also dealing with, because it was residential, the personality, the homeowners, the contractors, my staff, bringing that all together and being able to complete a project on time, on budget, and then be able to follow up afterwards if there was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
That flowed into residential finance where, you know, people were very nervous about their finances. So there was a lot of hand-holding and taking care of them for their mortgages and allowing them to buy their first home
mm-hmm.
or in refinancing them for saving some money. And that both of those businesses were built primarily off referral.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do a good job with one customer at a time to get another one. And flowing that into thinking about what I want to do for the rest of my life in building, in doing construction and working with people in residential finance, I've always appreciated the beauty in life around architecture, around art. I travel to Art Basel, Miami almost every year. I have a very eclectic assortment of independent, unknown artists that I've purchased around the world in my home. On every wall and every piece has a story.
Mm-hmm.
So I really sat down after those two businesses that I did pretty well. And I remembered a book that I had read, Tony Robbins, Unlimited Power.
Mm.
And I read that book when I first moved to California and it inspired me to really go for it. And that's when I started my construction company. And there's a section in there that when you're going to make a life career change, Tony says, you make two lists. The first list is what you want out of life at this moment in time. And you just write certain statements of what you really want. The second list, which really is the more important list, are the absolute non-negotiables. So Tony says, you write down what are the things that you will not accept in this very important choice,
mm-hmm.
your career. that list is the list that you then reflect on as you look at opportunities and where you want to go. And as I said, it's a long answer, but that list is the things that prevent you from going into something and starting a career that later on you'll feel trapped or you'll be unhappy, or no matter the financial success, you won't be fulfilled. You won't be passionate. And so I've done that list in my life at each turn in my career. And it's interesting, when I did the list the second time after I was out of construction, before I went into residential finance, I had just had a child. I was a single father, and I had dreams of traveling around the world in my career, but I didn't want to be away from my son.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the absolutes that I didn't want or that I couldn't have prevented me from choosing the wrong career. And I went into residential mortgage because it gave me a lot of freedom. It kept me local, and I was able to spend a lot of time with my son in the formative years. After I got out of that, took a couple of years off between middle of 06 and 08, the new list was almost the opposite, because my son was older. I was able to travel now. And so in making these lists of what I want and what I didn't want, choosing a career in fashion was exactly my passion. It allowed me to travel around the world, to bring in the architectural and art that I loved into the designs, to work with creative people that were passionate every day about what they did, and hopefully build products, handbags to start, and now sandals, that would be coveted not only for what they look like and how they feel, but for what they represented.
Mm.
That's where I'm at today.
This is a wonderful thing. You, of course, everyone knows the brand Ralph Lauren, Polo. Most people don't know he was in the Army for 2 years. He did a lot of other things before he found the passion of design and started to think about that as a career. You bring to it what you have. You bring to it what you're made of. So
yeah, I didn't know that either. You're very well versed in this area.
Oh, I you know what? It's opposition research. You know, I want to know, do you have any Access Hollywood tapes maybe that you recorded on a bus with Billy Bush? I just want to know if there's anything in your background, Tony, that we need to be aware of before we continue.
Wait, can we talk about the bags, please?
Right.
Can we talk about the bags?
Sorry, this is the bags we want to talk about.
But before we get to detail on the bag, Tony, I just have to say, living here in the South Bay, and just about every day I get out of my office for a little bit to run to the store, to run to the dry cleaners, to pick something up, to stop at the post office. And everywhere I go, I see a woman with a Hammett bag. Everywhere I go. Everywhere I go.
It's wonderful, Jackie. I got to tell you.
They are, you recognize them. They're very recognizable. Louis Vuitton, the graphic, the print. You know a Louis Vuitton bag when you see it, right?
Right.
The Hammett bag has its own
design language.
Yeah. That it's just very recognizable. And I see it everywhere I go in the South Bay.
Well, I knew we made it when we were actually drawn into the bubble, which I looked at your blog. You had most recently, you brought one of the Instagram. If everyone listening doesn't know the bubble, I'll give them a plug because it's amazing. Mm. It's an Instagram cartoonist, a local guy that posts, and there was a cartoon, and there was a Hammett hanging at what looked like one of the local bar establishments, and I'm like, we made it, we're in the bubble.
Joe, are you familiar with that comic strip
No.
Oh yeah, no, it's
Joe.
Check it out.
A guy that lives locally. I think his name is Ian, and he does this, you know, one cell comic strip. You know,
yeah.
Very, very witty. Very, he pokes fun at life in the bubble, and I got permission from him to occasionally post his comic on my website. I like to do it on
you
Monday.
You have to tell him. You have to tell him how much everyone I know loves that, Ian. I don't know Ian, but I got to tell you, it's. Joe, you're gonna love it, especially leaving here.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
You're gonna get lost. You're gonna forget you're talking to me.
This is
fitting. All...
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So you made it into the bubble. That's exciting. I you know
I
you
made
know
it
something.
Into the bubble, so we know we made it. And Jackie, thanks for noticing the bags all around the South Bay. And I can only say that we have a very strict design DNA of Hammett. So
good way to put it. Yeah.
We almost don't look. At any trends related to handbags, for sure. If we think trend, it's an overall much larger focus, you know, of what's happening in the world complete. We might even look towards Tesla and towards the design of computers and the exterior look. As I said, iconic architectural style. So we'll bring that into our thought process when we're designing the next collection. And then also we might look towards inspiration. For example, a year ago I took my team to Zion, and we went in the middle of the night, and the design team and creative director, and we sat up on top of a beautiful viewpoint, and there was no moon that night, and then slowly the sun rose behind us and was reflecting on this amazing granite wall that we were looking at, and the colors and the hues and the sounds and as the sun came all the way up, the inspiration from that trip is what went into our fall collection. We called it the Adventure Collection. Mm-hmm. And the color palette and the silhouettes, they were all inspired by that that trip up to Zion. Mm-hmm. And we always make sure, no matter what the inspiration, no matter what we're collaborating on, the strict DNA of Hammett, those core silhouettes, the signature rivet detail, the raw edge on the leather versus it painted, signifying the bag can casually go out with you in the morning and still go out for cocktails, happy hour, or evening at the art gallery. That rough edge also is the South Bay. I mean, let's face it, you know, we're not trying to be Beverly Hills or New York City in the South Bay. In the South Bay, that woman wearing the Hammett, you know, she could be, you know, a person that just moved here from the Midwest with, you know, just enough money for rent, or she could be the wife of a billionaire. Mm. And you would never tell it by the clothing she's wearing, the shoes, how she's walking. And when you talk to her, she's never going to talk about it. That's why I love living here. It's an amazing place.
Well,
and our
okay.
bags signify that.
Well, I went to last week, about 10 days ago, I went to the launch of the footwear line at the Neptunian Women's Club for the Hammett is now moving into shoes. So I went to the launch, and there was a very interesting display they had. They had the original first bag that Stephanie Hammett designed and made, I believe, herself. And then there were about, I don't know, six or seven or eight. And it was the original, and then it went to the next version, the next version, the next version, until the finished current product. It was very interesting.
Yeah, that was the story of our first clutch at Stephanie Hammett, a Manhattan Beach local. All of her family, the Hammetts, also live locally, and she was the original designer for Hammett. She'd actually been making handbags for a few years prior. And that first clutch she made for a local barbecue because she couldn't find something that she loved. And the signature rivet detail was in that Getty clutch. And the five or six bags that we had out were the different versions of our Getty clutch over time up to the one that we have today. And that Getty clutch connects to every single piece in our current collection and going backwards. And the DNA is very strong in the brand. And it's why people can see them from far away.
Right.
Without a logo.
You don't need – the logo is the design language. And it's clear, it's strong, like like you'll see some families where the strong jaw or the weak jaw or whatever, dad's jaw, all the kids have it. tell me about the rivets, because they're gold plated. Tell me a little bit about that and why.
Sure. Well, going back to that first clutch, originally they were snaps, so you could actually pull that leather clutch apart. It was all snapped together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started to use the rivet as the structural integrity of the bag. So instead of sewing it together, they're riveted together,
mm-hmm.
which signifies the strength of the brand and the strength of the woman that's wearing the brand. And the linear detail of the rivets, that straight line, it really carries a story about who you are when you wear it, because it's a strong statement. I call it, it's a strong move to the hoop if you're in basketball, to put on a handbag that really it sticks out. And so we, even looking at the size of the rivets, we're very consistent, the placement. They're not all over the place.
Mm.
And again, that carries the energy of the person that's wearing it, their integrity, their persistence, who they are. That's why we really are careful about how they're placed on every design for every collection. We just don't throw them all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people don't get confused with, is that a Hammond or not, when other brands, you know, they come and go with trend and they throw some hardware on it because maybe it's trendy for a season and then it's gone the next. You know, the rivet is really, really our branding. It's our logo. It's our story.
Hmm.
So it's a form follows function. That's the first thing of architecture, is form following function. They serve a function. They're not just a design component.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
As we all know, steel girders are the sort of in the quote unquote the design DNA of the internal structure of skyscrapers, steel girders. And as they began to be designed to be visible, lots of, what's going on with this building? It looks unfinished. And the other architect said, it looks unfinished because no design is ever finished. Everyone comes to it and they see something new and different. So now you see lots and lots of buildings with the girders and, you know, design elements that used to be internal.
The structural external components are,
the structural components are external. You can see them. Chicago has some amazing architecture like this. And of course now every city, New York, Dallas, LA, It's part of the space now. This is a fascinating discussion, Tony.
Yeah, you know, it's even in the South Bay, it's why I love living here. You know, our residential community is filled with, you know, some amazing designs, and locally there are some great architects that, you know, when you go from one street to the other, just walk down a street from the walk streets of Hermosa to, you know, up in the Hill section over to American Martyrs, East Manhattan. The designs are amazing, and there's a lot of inspiration there. When you look at where, you know, there's trends, you can actually look at homes and go, oh, that was built in this period, that was built in that period, and you see a lot of the same. But then in between all of them, you see a lot of individuality, a lot of expression of who someone is based on the home that they've designed and they're currently living in.
Right.
That's why I love living here. I could never live in a neighborhood where you have to look for an address to know where you are.
I'm from Chicago, a city of neighborhoods.
Wait a second. You're
what?
From Chicago?
I'm from Chicago.
From Cleveland.
What?
I'm from Cleveland. This is a battle. One and one in the world. Here you. Come on now.
My favorite address in Chicago that I lived was 3648 North Racine, which is three blocks from Wrigley Field. On that night, when they clinched on that night, and you see all those people outside the ballpark, I could hit any one of those people with a rock from my window in my apartment when I lived in Wrigleyville. I love Chicago. It's but it is absolutely a situation where wherever you are in Chicago, you know the neighborhood, the south side, the west side, the north side, whether you're in Koreatown or Chinatown or we used to call it Warsaw because there are more people of Polish descent in Chicago than there are in any other city in the world except for Warsaw, the capital of Poland. It's just an amazing city of neighborhoods, very, very distinctive. Tony?
Well, you know, it's in Cleveland, not at, you know, I'm from Parma, which was a post-World War II track home community of Cleveland. So when I say that I don't have to look for, I did grew up in that area, but I've spent a lot of time in Chicago, and it truly is. I actually ran the Chicago Marathon back in the 90s.
Wow.
And running around that city, the buildings are just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And boy, you must be proud, because that city has just come back so strong from the 70s and 80s, and it's not only beautiful, and they brought in architecture and design,
right,
the Millennial Park, and you know, they're just, it's a great city.
It is.
Okay.
Even though I'm from Cleveland,
yeah,
I'll be just as proud if the Cubbies get it or the Indians right now, I tell you.
Right.
Okay, this conversation is going off the rails. We still have
well,
to talk about shoes. We still have to talk
but
about shoes, but
we want to talk about sandals today, Jackie.
We do, but we got to take a quick station break.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll hold.
ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking design language. We're talking structural versus form versus function, and we're talking Hammett with Tony Drockton, and what a fascinating discussion. We'd love to have any comments or questions. If you're listening live and you just have this burning question about a Hammett handbag or the coming line of footwear, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And Jackie, we're not doing a sponsor?
Nope. Just the station break.
Okay. Well, we're back. And so, Tony, tell us why foot, because you've got this design language, and you've got this space across the country. I mean, the outlets that carry Hammett are a who's who of accessory line retailers. It's just amazing. So why footwear?
Well, you know, the vision was always to be both in the footwear and the handbag space from the beginning. As a matter of fact, Stephanie Hammett had a few sandals. They were actually at our footwear launch party that she had handmade by a local cobbler prior to when we started working together. So when I saw the sandals and the beauty of, you know, the pure leather sole and the simple straps of the flip-flop and the gladiator style, you know, I just fell in love with them. And I kept them for inspiration, actually, in our design studio every year, thinking to myself, you know, one day I'd love to really bring these back really in a much bigger way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after what took a little bit longer, because I am an entrepreneur that likes to move fast, and in launching Hammett in the middle of 2008, I don't think anyone could have predicted, you know, sadly, what our country went through.
Right.
The great recession, they called it, right?
Right.
And it was, you know, that was a difficult time to really stick with the goals of building a great American brand, especially built on, you know, never on sale and no discounting and a lifetime and all the things that go along with being at the higher price points of design and fashion. Mm-hmm. But taking all that into account, we made it through that period. We stuck to the commitment of who we really wanted to be. And as the handbags flourished, and as you said, mm-hmm. we're now carried in, shameless plug, 350 of the best specialty doors around the country,
mm-hmm.
You know, from Tootsie's in Dallas to Rhodes in Louisville to Jones Shep in Philadelphia. And we're really the number one selling handbag brand in 2/3 of the stores that carry us around the country.
Wow.
And so now with that, it's a big number. We actually did a survey. We sent it out to our stores, and in some of the stores we're their best selling brand of all brands, but we can't take that mantle yet. And as things have really taken hold and we've come out of that great recession, people feel more prosperous, at least in a way where they're willing to open up their purse strings. We said it's time to bring footwear. And the thing is, when you've got fanatical customers, and I think we do, and we got, you know, people that really have embodied what Hammett represents to them, and they love our bags. And I've heard from so many people, in both from email and from conversations, because I travel around the country. I do a lot of trunk shows. As you said, that empty seat that Jeff Bezos puts in every meeting.
Right.
My form of an empty seat is I get out there and I talk to as many people as I can, and it's the customer that I want to talk to.
Yeah.
And in their feedback always was, when are you going to come out with shoes? When are you going to come out with shoes? I want something else. How about jewelry? Can you do jewelry? And then we actually have a little off topic, but we have a secret menu at Hammett. It's like the In-N-Out secret menu. If you know In-N-Out, there are things you can buy at In-N-Out that aren't on that menu, but you have to know they exist. The animal style is one example.
Right.
Well, we have a secret menu at Hammett. So we have a dog leash, a dog collar. We have a couple little men's wallets. I can keep going. On all of those, you can't even buy them. You can only be gifted them by meeting myself or somebody within the company. But footwear, we couldn't put on the secret menu. We wanted it to be much bigger than that. And about 2 years ago, we started in earnest to reimagine those initial sandals that Stephanie had had a local cobbler make them more functional, bring the quality up to a level where we could stand behind them. And we launched them at the party with you, Jackie, and to amazing applause. As a matter of fact, we just posted, we're going to have our biannual celebration event on November 12th, Saturday night at the Country Club. And the emails that have flooded in, are the sandals going to be there? Are the sandals going to be there? Can we get to see the sandals? And it's blowing me away how excited people are.
You know, I have to mention something. I'm a little old school when it comes to fashion in general. I always liked having a bag that complemented my shoes or shoes complementing my bag. I know that it's very old fashioned. You know, people say, oh, your bag and your shoes don't have to match. But I like that. I think it pulls an outfit together. I think you can be more adventurous in what you're wearing when you have a bag and a shoe that are anchoring it together. And I love that about the shoe line. I love that they are immediately recognizable as a Hammett, rivets, style, right? And the bag. I mean, they don't have to be the same color. They don't have to be, you know, have the same, but the style, the DNA is there, and it pulls it together.
Yeah. You know, thank you, Jackie. It's I can tell you, going back to the, you know, the original collection to now, between buyers and owners of some of the best stores and even my internal design team, sometimes there was some really heated battles and heated conversations of why we would not design a collection or put something out that would deviate from the not only the signature rivet detail, but the raw edges on the leather, because there is not another brand out there at the price that we sell that does not paint their edges. It's just standard form. Everyone just accepted. You have to hide that, the beauty of the natural leathers. Well, let me tell you, when you're hiding the beauty of the natural leathers, now suddenly people realize, well, guess what? You don't have to use natural leathers. Matter of fact, you can use inferior product, because if you paint the edges, no one will know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can see the beauty of our leather by those amazing raw edges that are on almost every single bag everywhere. We do fold a few edges, so you can't see them on a few designs, but there's raw edges in that bag somewhere, I promise you. And in not hiding the beauty of the natural leather, exposing the flaws of how it was cut, it's also the individuality that's created for every bag. So in doing the footwear, if you look at them, it's the same. The beautiful raw edges, the signature rivet detail, the amazing comfort when you put your foot in them. I mean, most people have told us they put them right on and they're like, perfect. They feel great.
I'm never taking them off.
Yeah, how have they been? I didn't ask you.
No, I know. I'm just saying that's what people say. I put them on, I'll never take them off. They're so comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, we hope so. We hope so. Even our bags, I mean, if you look at, you know, we're primarily, Jackie and Joe, known for the crossbody.
Mm-hmm.
And a crossbody bag, it can be converted to be worn on one side, long or short.
Right.
But the bags, it's the bags themselves that we design almost always are really soft to the touch. The leather is soft when you touch it, and the bag is unstructured, meaning if you sit it down in general, it's gonna squish down. It's gonna almost get comfortable in its own seat.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is when you put it on your body, you don't even feel it. It just wraps around you. It hugs you. It makes you feel like it's one. It's part of you. Versus, and it's fine for some other brands, a very structured, a very hard bag. As you walk, it hits you on the side. It bangs. It moves. You always know it's there.
Right.
When you put a Hammond on, we hope that you, like you said, you never take it off, morning to night. It just feels comfortable. And that's part of the design DNA.
Right. I remember very strongly, Steve Jobs used to say, you know, the edge of the iPhone is chamfered, which means it's almost a 45-degree angle. It's not smooth. It's not an edge. Like it's chamfered. And he wanted that feel of the 45-degree angle that's perfectly flat, but it's not a curve. So you know, your fingers just automatically know where the edge is, and yet it's comfortable to hold because it's not a point. It's design elements like that drove the manufacturing geeks completely insane, because they said, this is going to cost like astronomical to do this. And,
right.
And they just said, figure it out.
Yeah, no, he was, he had an amazing vision for everything that he did. And I read, his autobiography, which if you haven't read it, Joe or Jackie,
I have.
It's quite amazing.
Yeah.
It's not to go off topic, but you know, everyone wanted to write it for him. Mm-hmm. He pursued the person that he wanted to write his autobiography for many, many years, and this person refused, and I forget his name.
Right.
But if you read the book, he talks about it. And finally, he said to this person, listen, he must have known that he was sick near the end, and said, I will give you access to everybody in my life, unfettered.
Right.
My child that he abandoned, his enemies. He said, you can talk to anybody and you can write anything about me.
One
and
condition.
I never want to read it.
It has to be published after I'm dead. Because the
which
people
I don't know
that
if
I talked
that,
about.
But,
what?
I don't know if he knew that, but to give someone.
No, he
that
said
permission.
That was the agreement. He said, no, I don't want it published when I'm alive, because I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I'm going to tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need
to
see these people.
I mean, to give someone that sort of permission to write about you, it also speaks volumes of his level of integrity and his awareness of his flaws. And we all have flaws.
Yeah.
And to allow someone to expose them, to me, is the ultimate gift. Because it lets everybody know he's not up on a pedestal.
Right.
He's not unapproachable. You can be a Steve Jobs. You can lead like Steve Jobs. You could be that person. It, let your flaws show and own them and be okay with it. Don't hold yourself back. Don't shame yourself over them. Instead, it's okay. We all have them. And
right.
Even though he really is one of the greatest entrepreneurs in the world, when you read his book, you realize, holy moly, he had all the same problems as the rest of us.
Right.
He had all the
right.
same issues. He could have let any of them hold them back. He could have given up along the way for both personal and business reasons. And he never did.
Right.
He never did. And he never even told anybody he was sick till the end. He didn't. He just lived right to the end.
Right. I love my favorite you know, example of his determination to let go of the past, let go of everything that you don't want, is, you know, when the sugar water salesman, he hired, I can't remember his name, but he hired the guy that was the president of Pepsi-Cola to become
yep.
CEO or the COO of Apple. And then he got fired. He sold all his shares of Apple except one.
Yep.
He said, I don't
crazy
want
story, right?
anything to do with this company but one share because I started it. I want one share of the company so I get the annual report. And I get to see what these bozos, these idiots, are doing with my company. And, of course, you know, history recounts how he came back. He started Next. Then Apple bought Next. And he became, you know, incredibly wealthy after that. But it,
can we talk about shoes now?
Letting go.
Can we get back on topic and talk about shoes?
Shoes.
We got to put some soul back into this conversation, Jackie. You know,
absolutely.
Jackie, I wanted to ask you, you know, talking about Steve Jobs and his consistency and his persistence, you know, when I look at your blog and I look at how often you post and how you really know of every event in the South Bay and in detail and how you're consistent in that. And then us having this conversation today and you saying you're going to come to our football launch and then you did, you know, who do you look towards for motivation? Who made you this way?
Oh, goodness. That's a big question.
Because it came from somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Sissy.
Yeah, I was going to say my mother. Yeah.
Your mom?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she was a determined person, you know, strong, determined. If she said she was going to do something, she was going to do it. You know, keeping your ducks in a row. It's simple
yeah.
stuff. It's simple stuff, Tony. You know, I always tell Joe, you know, I'm a list maker. Mm. You know, I'm one of those
yeah.
Incredibly organized people. And I barrel through, you know, and I get that from my mom. Yeah.
What was her name?
Her name was Rosemary, but everybody called her Sis. She grew up with five brothers. So she was Sis. She was Sis growing up. So, and that
she
name
was
just
an inspiration. She had five brothers.
Yeah. Yeah. So she was, they all called her Sis. So, you know, when her friends called her Sis. So she's always been Sis. Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is so on topic with the footwear, everybody, and that's why I asked this of you, Jackie, because here's the three of us on this call. We all could be doing something different, sleeping,
right.
playing,
right.
Got up early. This was scheduled long ago. We're all given an hour of our time to really share, you know, not just what's happening with Hammett, but really the life in the South Bay. And when you talk about your mother being your inspiration, you know, I can say that my father, who just passed away, he was mine. He was my rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he taught me as I worked in his grocery store from 10 years old on. Integrity is earned on a lifetime, and you've heard this before, and it's lost in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn that at a young age, I can say that I still made mistakes along the way, but they didn't hurt as bad. Because I knew I made them right when I made them, because I heard his voice in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I need to just, you know, adjust the compass a little more, get back on track. There's a lot of people out there, they didn't have that parent.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they have maybe a junior achievement teacher or a Boy Scout troop or someone that they remember that got them on track, because it doesn't have to be a parent. I hate to get emotional in this moment, but it's really what brought me here today
mm-hmm.
was some great parenting and then one or two great teachers in grade school that I still can think of today, Mr. Sharp,
mm-hmm.
and then some great business mentors. Hammett would not be where it is today without the amazing initial vision of Stephanie Hammett,
mm-hmm.
the DNA of the brand she created. And I was lucky enough to bring, you know, bring her into partnership and to take Hammett to commercial success and to business success.
Hmm.
And along the way, I also was mentored by Andrew Forbes. He was the original COO of Jimmy Choo. And I met him at a dinner, and he said, you know, if you need some help, I'll give you some help. And he was with Jimmy Choo from zero to about 80 million. And he loved Hammett so much, he actually took on the chairmanship for 2 years. Hmm. And he taught me all of the basic knowledge I needed to build a great American brand.
Hmm.
It's how he built Jimmy Choo. Price integrity, quality, consistency, the DNA of the brand,
hmm.
the customer being number one.
Hmm.
And we're still great friends today. And we have at least a coffee or a lunch 2 to 3 times a year.
Hmm.
And in between many others that I don't want to mention, but I can tell you that Hammett would not be here today without all of those people and many more. And I'm sure, Jackie, besides your mother along the way, even in these interviews, you've met some amazing people that continue to allow you to grow and become a better person. And Joe,
oh,
I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. No, Joe and I, almost, at the end of almost every show, after the show, we talk and we learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
We learn something new every time. It's amazing how much we've learned doing this show over the last 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I could only imagine.
Listen, this hour is flying by. Now, Tony, tell us about the shoes. Where can people get them? No, where can people get them? Tell us about any upcoming events that people are going to want to go to. And yeah.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire a bunch of shameless plugs. Ready?
Okay.
So the sandals, obviously Hammett.com, Hammitt.com, if you want to see our footwear collection. The sandals are all named after our dogs because we're a dog-friendly company. We're a dog-friendly community. So, you know, you got the Max, you've got the Winston, you got the Jesse, and they're all dogs that have spent time in our office and in our families. I don't know if you know, but the bags are all named after the great men in our lives. So you've got, you know, anywhere from the Leo to the Paul to the Daniel. There's even a Tony. So we like to say, keep your man on your arm, keep your dogs at your feet. I think we have a lot. That's the playfulness of who we are at Hammett, is to bring some of that personalization into not just the designs, but into the names. And I think you can purchase the sandals right now only on Hammett.com, but they're going to be available in a limited number of our specialty stores, about 30 for the first collection.
Yeah.
And then the second collection, we're going to take it up to maybe about 40. We want to keep it as a small part of our brand over the first year, so we continue to grow and learn what our customers love and what we need to change to make them better. And I think you'll love them. And there's a classic flip-flop. There's a slide, and then there's a gladiator, and that's it. Just those three silhouettes for that first collection.
Mm.
Comes in about 18 different combinations of leather colors and hardware.
Mm.
And the stores that did order, we did a lot of have for the first, are just super excited to get them in and to start sharing them with their customers around the country. And for a complete list of who is carrying Hammett in any community in the U.S., that's also at Hammett.com under the store's link, and it has their phone number, their address, and everything that you would need.
Hmm.
Did I do good?
Yeah, you're good. Where do you get them locally here?
They're not in a store yet. They're just on our site.
Oh. Yeah,
no store.
But they will be carried at I'll let it out of the bag because I wanted her to surprise. Our number one partner in the South Bay, she's actually the first woman to believe in me. I walked in her store in Manhattan Beach, Kami, C-A-M-I.
Yes.
She had one little store in downtown Manhattan Beach. Now she has three. She has one on Manhattan Beach Boulevard, right across from the Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. She has a second Kami on Manhattan Avenue, down from the Creamery on that side of the street.
Mm.
And then she has a third location in South Redondo in the Village. And in all three stores, she probably has the largest selection of our Hammett bags of anyone in the country. And she will also have an amazing collection of all of the footwear. So if anyone's listening locally, you could stop in and put your name on the waiting list. And when she gets them, she'll call you.
I was just in the Riviera Village store 2 weeks ago and got the most adorable blouse. Oh, and yes, a ton of Hammett. She has a great selection of Hammett in that store.
Yeah, you know, it's really how Hammett has grown, because, you know, individual boutique owners and the staff that they have, they really are passionate about the product in their stores, and they know it, and they can share the full story of what's behind it. Mm. And I think it's why customers shop at those stores, because they like to learn in depth about what they're buying. As you said earlier, you know, there's the disposable economy, and then there's us that, you know, I think we really care not only about the environment. We want family heirlooms, not just stuff. And you find those at great specialty stores.
This is a situation where, you know, people are going to say, this is my mom's Hammett. This is my aunt or my neighbor's Hammett, and she like bequeathed it to me when she
We see that locally already, Joe. It's great. I see high school girls that are rocking a Hammett, and out, you know, it's great because you know that they took it out of the mom's closet and they're loving it.
Right.
My son locally, you know, he grew up, now he's a freshman in college, but he's like, oh, I see him everywhere. He's at Santa Barbara, Dad, on girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know they didn't run and buy them all. They probably, you know, grabbed them to head off to college. I like to say Hammett's not for a reason. You know, it's not for a season. It's
for
a lifetime.
You know, that's one of my favorite taglines of any designer is Philippe Patek. You never really own a Philippe. Patek Philippe. Yeah, you never really own one. You just hold on to it, take care of it for the next generation.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got chills because it's one of my favorite ad campaigns.
Yeah. It's one of mine. Yeah.
And it's always the visual is always the father and the son, or
the mother and the daughter,
or the woman and her daughter.
Right.
And there's that concept again of the story is the brand. I love this concept. You wear your man on your arm and your dogs at your feet. Mm-hmm. There's something
poetic, it's wonderful, right?
That.
We have a good time.
It's isn't it keep your man on your arm and keep your dogs at your by your feet, or is it
keep
or wear?
Your man on your arm and your dogs at your feet?
Yes.
And I was gonna add one more thing, and I know the hour. Gosh, it just flew by. I feel like we've been talking for 5 minutes, but. You know, I think the integrity behind the brand is not just about the quality or the design and everything we talked about. The price integrity of Hammett, I think, is really what's driving our not only our growth, but the passion. I don't know about you guys, but nothing really sets me off more than I buy something and then literally I bump into somebody and they brag about how they got it at 80% off on some website.
Oh, yeah.
Four weeks later, I walk back into that store and it's 60. I'm just like, ugh, I feel like I made a bad choice.
Mm.
And so early on, I made a choice with Hammett that if you wanted to get one less than full price, then you need to fly into Manhattan Beach, California and come to our twice a year sample sale.
Where
all of the products that we take back from all of our specialty stores around the country twice a year, because if we don't let them put us on sale, mm-hmm. then we also have to take back what they don't put on sale. Mm-hmm. And that's the product that makes it into our sample sales. And that's why November 12th at the Country Club, we will probably have anywhere between 1,200 and 1,500 of our greatest fans from all over the country. And they'll be there to get some Hammetts for gifts and for themselves. And it's the only time they're ever going to see us less than full price.
And Joe, I've been to
one of
these.
And there's not another
sales.
Brand out there like that.
I've been to one
What's
of these
that?
Sample sales. I've been to the sample sale. It's amazing.
It's a lot of fun. You know, we have open bar, gourmet food, playful. This theme is a circus. So we brought the Burning Man energy and Under the Big Top energy to the Country Club. We're going to have a ball.
Tony Drockton, Cleveland in the house. You've just given us the greatest compliment of our career as interviewers. It's been a great 5 minutes that we've been talking. and I think this is the thing. I hope you never have an interview as great as this one. I hope this is the greatest interview you ever have.
This is the best one yet, I'm going to tell you. We're going to have to do this again.
Man, this is a great time it's been, Tony. Tony Drockton from Hammett. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jackie.
It's been awesome, awesome, awesome. And it's all about the feel. And you can feel it, and you can own it, and you can pass it down. Thank you, Tony Drockton, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
And Jackie, thank you, Jackie. Oh,
always a pleasure, Joe.
Fantastic. I know we'll be on again, but pass this on to your neighbor. What a great interview. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.